Thanks to Hired for sponsoring this episode of Does Not Compute. Hired makes it way less stressful to find awesome development and design jobs. Once you've signed up and filled out your profile, companies will apply to interview you. Over the course of 4 weeks, you'll receive personalized interview requests with salary information up front. Hired is completely free to use, and when you find your next job through them, they'll give you a $1,000 bonus to say thanks. Hired works with over 4,000 employers of all types, big names like Facebook and brand new startups. They're looking to fill full-time and contract roles in 17 major cities throughout North America, Europe, Asia, and Australia. Hired also helps keep your job search private by hiding your profile from current and past employers. You can learn more by visiting hired.com/doesnotcompute. Better yet, if you sign up at that link, Hired will double their normal thank you bonus to $2,000.
It's been a very long week, Paul. It's about to be even longer because I'll be in a car for most of it.
What do you mean? Where are you? What?
Moving to Vermont.
What day is that?
Wednesday.
Wednesday? You're going to be up here on Tuesday, though.
Correct.
Oh, my goodness. That's a busy couple days, Sean.
Right. So, I'm coming up to SF on Tuesday and leaving Wednesday for Yosemite, I think. We're going to go through there. But yeah, it's going to be a long week. It's going to be an interesting week because I've got a large project that is supposed to be launching on September 1st, and their team of content editors are logging in on the 1st. And so there's like four people now in Git from their organization that are lobbying a flurry of arrows over to me, and I will be in a car for the week. So that should be fun.
So you're going to be driving Wednesday through Friday the whole time?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we're going to be stopping and not driving like 24/7, but we will be getting there on the 3rd. Yeah, the 3rd, which is it's like 5 days worth of driving.
So while you're on the road, you're going to be mostly driving, or are you actually going to be doing work?
Oh, just driving. I took the week off. So luckily, I'll have a couple other developers. So the backend developer, Josiah, he's going to be obviously continuing to work on it. And then also, I've got another front-end developer that is acclimated to the code base. I spent a couple of days with him last week. And so he's familiar with things and able to jump in if he needs to. I think there's some design-related changes coming in. And luckily, any of the complicated moving parts, I made sure to comment almost every method in those. So everything is pretty straightforward in terms of logic. Granted, you could do this with other frameworks, but this is a big testament to Vue, in that Vue made it super easy to just make things really clear in the way that the components were named, in the way that Vue Router works. Vue made it just so easy almost to put this thing together and then show it to another dev. And he looks at it, and he's like, oh, I get it. I understand what's going on right away. So hats off.
Well, that's pretty awesome. I mean, you've been using Vue on this particular project for months now, like half a year or something like that.
Yep.
And it's still holding up. Everything feels clean and nice and awesome.
Yeah, it's been great. So I tried to follow a few of, similar principles across the entire life of the project. And that is, anything that can be used more than one place, just put it in a component that can be reused. A great case in point is headers. So there's maybe like four different header styles on the site, and all of those derive from one header component. So there's the page hero component, which basically shows a title and a subtitle and has some styling. And then there are three other components that wrap that page hero component. So there might be like a featured item component, and all that does is pass through data to the page hero component inside, and then also kind of decorates the DOM around that page hero. So that way you get like the featured item and the featured image and the featured intro and stuff like that. But all of the page heroes across the entire site are really just decorating one page hero component, which makes it super easy to reuse.
That's awesome. How in depth did you go with that philosophy? Like, do you have an input component as a base, or?
No, I didn't need one. This one happens to be read-only, which is great. The only inputs are around a newsletter sign-up form. So there's like a little widget or a newsletter form component that just has a single input and a button. And then there's a subscription options page, which actually the component goes to MailChimp and gets a list of interests from MailChimp. And so that way the component updates itself in accordance to how, you know, they're managing their newsletter. But I guess I could have made an input, but I think the most granular component I made was just a button component. And all that does is just styles a link to look like a button. And so you can pass in like sizing, you can pass in various different style props for it. You can even say like show or hide arrow, or you can even give it an arrow direction. And this was pretty cool. So the button, if you have the arrow showing, it shows an SVG. And then based on the button direction, it actually switches the path inside of the SVG automatically. So it's not two separate files. It's just SVGs embedded directly into the component, and Vue is actually modifying the markup of the actual SVG.
That's kind of cool. I mean, it sounds like you basically made a DSL for a button. It's just like, here's all the things that a button might need, and I'm going to have a micro language inside this component where I can just define that in every spot where I want to use one, which is really neat.
Yeah, and it works great. And so when a certain individual from their organization says, we needed to consolidate all the verbiage on every button across the site, I'm like, I got you. And it's done, you know? Of course, I paint a sob story about how difficult it's going to be, but really in my mind, I'm just going to change one thing and it's good.
So are you going to be upgrading this project to Vue 2.0, do you think, when that's out? Or is that going to be kind of a discussion that you'll have to have later?
You know, if it's in the budget, down the road, maybe after it launches, I would like to look at that. So the interesting thing is that Vue 2, if I remember correctly, it almost removes as many features as it adds to Vue, which I actually am a big fan of this, and specifically around how the events work. So if you've used Vue before, or if you haven't, I can explain it. You have a broadcast and a dispatch, two different events. So broadcast will send a message down through the chain of components, and dispatch will send up. And in Vue version 2, there's just an emit event. I can't remember exactly what it's called, but it's just a global event. So what happened was, if you're working with multiple components that they're not directly nested, say they're siblings, there's not really a direct way to talk to one or the other using the event system. And so what you would end up having to do is dispatch up to the parent, catch that event there, and then had the parent would broadcast down. And so really, you're just adding events onto the parent because it has children that are dispatching. And with Vue 2, with the global setup, you don't have to do that, because when you dispatch an event, all of the components will get it, and only the ones that care about it will do anything.
Sure. And that's always been one of my favorite things about Vue in general, not just the 2.0 release, but ever since I discovered it, is how well-considered and lightweight the API is. The surface area of the API is extremely small, and Evan has done so much work to make sure that it stays that way and maybe even gets smaller when possible. That's such a different approach to building out a framework than almost always happens.
It's incredible. And so using Vue, I mean, the surface area is so small. It's almost like you can kind of get familiarized with 90% of it in an afternoon. Another good example of this is, I had a friend that was jumping into React quite a bit with the team, and I encouraged him, hey, you know, before you commit to anything, check out Vue. And his main concern with React was just the kind of the spin-up time and acclimating his team to the ecosystem. And I told him to check out Vue, and he did. And he was like, wow, this took literally half the time to become familiar with, and I'm able to build features of the same caliber. You know, like, it wasn't like he was like, I'm going to check out Vue, but I can't do this or that. He was like, I'm doing everything I was doing before. It's just less complicated.
Yeah, I mean, that's in some ways similar to Rails, where you can do the same stuff you can do in any other language or framework, but a lot of times it's just easier. There's less to think about, less to worry about, and you can just kind of get in there and start worrying more about business logic and what makes your app special, instead of just focusing on how do I learn this framework?
Yeah, exactly. And in our case at Octopus, every dev now is using it and has been using it for a while, just because it makes so many things just easy. It just takes some of like the repeat boilerplate code that I always would used to write, and it removes that from the equation so I can go ahead and make things more polished. And I was talking to a friend of mine, Zach Spear, the other day, because he's interested in it, and I was trying to encourage him just to check it out. And one thing that came to mind was it almost eliminates an entire class of errors that you previously would have to deal with. And when you switch to using something that's reactive like Vue, you just don't have to worry about it anymore. Especially, I mean, just taking the entire physical management of the DOM out of the equation, it removes so much stuff that you would have to do before. And you almost don't even think about it anymore, which is pretty amazing.
I think probably my favorite thing about Vue overall, though, is just that it scales really well. And what I mean by that isn't that you can make massive stuff with it. You can. Obviously, you're using it in a project where it's 6 months long and you're building out an entire single-page app where it's all Vue. But Vue also works great and is lightweight enough that you don't feel bad about including it just for a part of certain pages on a site. And it doesn't force you into working one way or the other. It really is very flexible and allows you to use the right technologies for each piece of your application.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing how compact everything is. That's one of the things that I've heard people kind of be skeptical about in regards to React or Angular or something like that. They just say it's a pretty heavy dependency. Whereas Vue, it's somewhere around like 20K maybe, but with Vue 2 coming out, I saw a tweet recently where Evan was actually saying that Vue 2 plus Vue Router plus Vuex, and if you're not familiar with Vuex, it's basically like Redux, but for Vue. All three of those combined have a smaller footprint than Vue version 1.0, so it's getting even smaller, which is amazing to me. So it seems like it just keeps getting better and better, right? Things keep on getting more refined, the API gets more consistent, and having all those three dependencies, because let's be honest, if you're building a spa and you're going to use Vue, you're going to use Vue Router and probably Vuex as well. So, you know, it makes sense for him to kind of bring those into the equation, but to have all those three bundled together, be smaller than the original code base is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a really incredible effort. I think, not to pick on Ember, but recently, a good friend of mine was working on an Ember project and had a megabyte of JavaScript going down to the page before they even wrote code. I convinced him to give Vue a try and it was like 80K. So it's just such a massive reduction in file size of all the boilerplate that gets sent down to the browser that you're already way ahead of the curve from the beginning.
Oh yeah. And then you can use tools like Webpack to you know, even do like bundle splitting and stuff like that. So that way you're only sending the core stuff down first, which is, it's just a really good workflow. I mean, I've talked about Webpack in the past and how complicated it is, but once you kind of get it under your belt, it's actually a pretty good tool. And what I found out actually is that most of my performance tuning hasn't even been in regards to managing the DOM and how that's painted or how, you know, I'm processing data before it's rendered. It's all been around the API and how we're building that. And so this project has been huge for me in terms of learning what not to do first and then kind of patching that up. So I'm using Active Model Serializers. And if you're not familiar with that, it's a Rails gem, which allows you to create serializers for your resources. So that way you can create, let's say, like a book serializer. And in that you would put maybe the author and different attributes about the book. And whenever you render that out to JSON, it runs it through the serializer. So that way you can tightly control what attributes come through. And you can also create multiple serializers. So for example, if you have an index listing and you know that you don't need to list all of the attributes, or maybe there's a content, like a chapter field that's huge, and you know that doesn't need to be included on an index page, you can create a light serializer that doesn't have that, which, I mean, the only thing that does is improve the performance of your API. So what I ended up doing was looking at Vue and saying, wow, Vue is just fast. Everything is happening so quickly. The painting and the rendering, all that's fine. Now I have to go back to Rails and start tuning there. So it's kind of one of those things where Vue has been so easy for me to work with. I just built the thing and now I'm having to work on the tools that it consumes data from to make it faster.
All right. So as of next week, you are going to be officially full-time remote. I know you've been doing a lot of remote work over the last few weeks, kind of getting ready for your move and stuff, but now it's getting super real. So is there anything you're worried about? Anything you're excited about?
I'm excited for quiet, personally. So anyone that's ever worked in an open floor room, it can get difficult because you're really only options for, you know, having time to yourself or silence to yourself, I guess, is playing music, which is not silent, you know, that can be distracting. So you often end up going to a different room Like we have two office rooms, so, or two office buildings, so I can go across the street into the quiet place until meetings happen. Then I had to go back. So I'm really looking forward to just having silence to myself all the time whenever I want it. That seems like it's going to be awesome. The second thing is, for whatever reason, I feel like I'm more productive when I'm remote. So we've been doing remote tests here and there. So every Wednesday of the week, the entire team is distributed. We kind of all just spread out and work from home or work from coffee shops or whatever. And what I end up noticing is that I actually work less, but I get more done. And I've been thinking about that a little bit as to why that might be. And I guess it kind of comes up to a few different reasons. Number one, you know, having the ability to just be in a quiet room or having the option for that is really nice. There's less kind of subconscious distractions. You know, if someone is drinking a LaCroix and they go over and crush it, I kind of stop and look over there. And even that little, even though it's like really minimal, right? I'm just turning my head to see what the noise was. I can lose whatever I was working on, or I can lose a train of thought that I had. Another big thing is that I just think that being by myself allows me to really zero in on something, really just kind of have a longer period of time where focus isn't broken. And it also was a small thing, but a lot of times people will come up and say, hey, are you in for a lunch at this place? Or do you want to go here or whatever? Hey, I'm going to go get coffee. Do you want some? Those other small distractions like that just don't exist for me anymore, which I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, that's always been a bit of a struggle for me as well, because I really like those distractions in a way. I like being around people. I like going to get lunch with people. I like all that stuff. I enjoy it because I've always been fortunate enough to work with teams of people that I genuinely like. But at the same time, I recognize that I personally am always, always more productive at night or when I'm alone or working remotely. And like you said, it's I can work less hours, but still there will be significantly more productive hours than they would be if I were in an office with other people. And I think that's just part of the nature of modern work. But at the same time, it is important to find a balance. And I think that's part of why so many developers really enjoy working late at night. A lot of developers love that solitude because you could really focus in and spend, you know, 3 hours absorbed in a problem without anything else happening. There's nothing going on in the internet. There's nothing happening around you. You're in a quiet room by yourself with some nice music going. It's the best.
Well, that too. And I think that by the end of the night, you've done most of the things you wanted to do that day anyway. So if you have different hobbies, you've probably played guitar, you've probably played video games, you probably went surfing, you probably did all that stuff already, right? So at the end of the night, you're like, what else do I have to do? Oh, there's some work I need to get done because I was out doing other things during the day. And so you sit down, and I find that, again, when I'm remote, I do stuff during the day. And so I sit down and I find that I've already done those things. And so there's not those thoughts popping into my head like, oh, I really wish I would have done this today, or I want to do that right now. There's none of that. I've already done all that day, so I feel like it's okay to be working at that point in time.
I mean, especially for me, when I was at Octopus, that was a major thing where I would go into the office and I would be there for meetings and I would, you know, get some stuff done during the day. But then a lot of times when I was actually productive on development work instead of more management kind of stuff was at night. So, you know, I would go in during the day, spend some time there working and interacting with people and doing the relationship side of things. And then the programming side would happen during a few hours in the evenings, which is kind of awesome in a way and kind of not awesome in certain other ways, of course. But I think it's important to find a balance where you can of that productivity and the human side of things. Is that something you're concerned about at all with being fully remote, is that you won't have that team interaction anymore?
Honestly, and this might be weird to say this, maybe if someone from the team hears this, they might be like, that's strange, but I'm not worried about that. And that's because I don't know. So Paul, you once told me that I might be one of the only truly introverted people you've ever met. And that explains a lot about how I or why I feel that way. So for me, being around lots of people, like communicating to people, a large number of people, or even just a small group of people all day long, that really wears me down and it makes me tired. And when I feel recharged and happy and just kind of complete is when I'm by myself. And so I find that remote days for me are really amazing because it gives me that break. It gives me that separation, that isolation that I need to recharge. Maybe it'll be a situation where I haven't left the house in like 10 days and I haven't seen another person besides Jamie in 10 days, you know, but I think I'll cross that bridge when I get there. But in terms of like not having the everyday team interaction, face-to-face stuff, I don't think I'll miss that as much because as much as I like them as people and I enjoy hanging out with them, the more that I do that, really, it just requires more time of being alone to feel okay, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think that does. And I mean, the lack of concern there, I think in your particular case, really does make a lot of sense because for the most part, Octopus, most of those people have been around for quite a while now. And you have a very, very long-term working relationship with them. You all understand pretty well how the others work. So I think that's a major benefit for your particular case in going remote.
Yeah, I guess my personality type works really well in that situation. The introverted stuff has been something I've been thinking about a lot. And I just had a friend actually, which is really strange because I moved to California from living on the East Coast. And now a bunch of my friends are on the West Coast. And so one of my friends is actually working as a forestry. I'm not sure exactly what his title is, but he works in the Sierras. And he came down and visited me. And so when I was in a band, I just always lived with a bunch of people because it was the most affordable situation. And Austin and I, we lived together for a while in a house with maybe four other people. And him and I were really alike all the time. And just in the sense that we're both really isolated, or not isolated, but introverted, and we need alone time. And we were the only two introverts in a house full of extroverted people that were extremely extroverted. And it was really hard time in my life because I hadn't kind of researched about that at all. I didn't know why I was the way that I was and why I was feeling antisocial. And, you know, since moving to California, I've had more time on my hands because I'm on the tour cycle grind and I've just been reading books, the most notably Quiet by Susan Cain. And that really helped me understand a lot about why I feel the way that I do. And it was interesting because he came down for the weekend and we just kind of chatted about that because he just graduated from college. He's kind of in the same position where he's starting to learn more about himself and his personality and how he relates to other people. And I don't know, it was just a really good talk because it was good for me to kind of think more about that stuff, but also communicate to him why he might be feeling the way he does when he hangs out around extroverted people all the time.
I think that's such an interesting thing because when you talk about that, it doesn't really sound at all like it would be relevant to programming. But then when you really think about it, it's kind of the most relevant thing. Understanding what makes you feel good and bad and what makes you productive and happy versus makes you have to kind of clam up and recharge is very valuable information, not just for programming, but for kind of your whole life. Learning about that, learning about yourself and figuring those things out is so valuable.
And you know what's interesting is that book Quiet, again, I keep mentioning it, but the book Quiet talks about how basically the extroverted personality type is seen to be more favorable in society and how, for example, a lot of the book was focused around marketing and I think it was like maybe in the early 60s or something like that, but how marketing was advertising things to be basically saying like, if you're not this type of person or if you're not doing this thing, then, you know, you're not cool, essentially. And then it started talking about scientists and how certain scientific organizations, a lot of these people that were introverted were making breakthroughs, but they weren't actually able to present their findings in a decent manner. So they would have somebody else present those findings, or even they would take it farther than that and they wouldn't hire introverted scientists. They would hire extroverted scientists, which meant that there was a whole class of people that just didn't have a voice at that time. And so fast forward to today and you look at the conference circuit and you look at the kind of, you know, design or development superstars. And a lot of those people tend to be people that are outgoing and extroverted and have maybe communicating to large numbers of people comes more naturally to them. And so I guess in my programming career, I've struggled with that a little bit because that's not how I am. Like this podcast was a big stretch for me, but really I'm just sitting in my room talking to you, someone who I've talked to a lot. So it's not as stressful for me, but I don't know, it's interesting, like learning about yourself, learning what makes you feel okay and productive. And then also, you know, learning how to not compare yourself to quote unquote what the status quo might be or what people say you have to do in order to be relevant in this industry. And that would be like, you know, putting lots of content out there or something like that. It's just an interesting journey. And that's maybe something that I want to talk more about in the future. But you end up really only hearing, you know, who is talking the loudest. And most of the time, those people are extroverted people.
Thanks again to Hired for sponsoring Does Not Compute. If you're looking for a full-time or contract position in the tech industry, you should really check them out. Hired takes a ton of the stress out of looking for your next job. Once you've signed up and filled out your profile, companies will send you interview requests with salary and equity info up front. After you've interviewed, found a great fit, and gotten the job, Hired will give you $1,000 to say thanks for using them. You can double that hiring bonus to $2,000 by signing up at hired.com/doesnotcompute.